Okay, we're on 84 on top, and Tanya, Paraklam at Gimel, 153 at the bottom. Okay, the last thing the Alter Rebbe is explaining, that when a person realizes the simcha that they have, when they realize how nothing the world is, how great Hashem is, and all the infinite majesty of Hashem, and yet when a Jew does a mitzvah, Hashem leaves the whole universe and comes down only to you, and therefore he says, this is what Chavakuk said, that the whole Yiddishkeit, all the 613 mitzvahs, is one mitzvah, tzadik b'munasi yichya. Okay? With the meaning, it's all like one mitzvah, because when you have a mun in Hashem, and you realize the greatness of Hashem, and you realize that He's the purpose of all creation, the whole purpose of creation is to serve Hashem, so then that's the key to all mitzvahs. The truth is, if somebody really believes in God, really believes in God, they will never sin. Because why do we sin? Because we think God would look the other direction for a little while. God took a break, a lunch break, coffee break, a cell phone break. In fact, the Bierman Zaka, the Gemara says, Dr. Rebbe calls this also in Tanya. The Bierman Zaka on his deathbed gave advice to his students, and he said to them, you should fear God as much as you fear a person. They asked, give us advice before you die. So Rabbi Chazaki said, Yemera Shemayim Kemera Basavadam. You should fear God as much as you fear a person. So they said to him, that's it? I mean, shouldn't we fear God more than we fear a person? He said, Halavai, it should only be that way. He said, if a person watches you, to use our language, if a cop is standing on the corner, you're not going to go through the red light. If a cop watching you, you're not going to go rob a bank. If somebody's watching you, you're not going to steal. Okay? So he said, picture God at least like a person. Whatever you're doing, so if you really believe in God, like we learned, why is every sin idol worshipping? Now, I've explained before, every sin is idol worshipping. Why is every sin idol worshipping? Because you're basically, at that moment, denying the existence of God. If you would feel God's presence, that God is watching over you, you would never sin. Not in thought, not in speech, not in action. So he says, and this is what he says, v'zeo sha'amar, middle of the page, b'amunasi yichya, with his amuna, he lives, yichya daika, what do you mean making, you'll live? The emphasis on yichya, you'll live, ketchias ha'mesim, it's like the resurrection of the dead. Meaning, derech moshe, by an example, kach tich, just like the dead get up, kach tichya nafshe, his soul will be alive. Do you ever see the difference between depressed people and happy people? Depressed people are dead. I mean, figuratively speaking, by the way. And living people are alive. I mean, happy people are alive. He says, Tzadik b'menasi yichya, emunah makes you alive. Because if you believe in God and you realize what you're doing when you're doing a mitzvah, that Hashem is uniting himself with you, that's going to make you alive. You're going to be a lively person. And he says, Kach tichya nafshi, same way, the soul will be alive, b'simcha rabezu, with this simcha, realizing that Hashem is coming to him, and spending only with him, b'simcha kfula mechupeles, this is a double simcha. Why? K'mavad simcha sa nefesh hamaskeles, in addition to the nefesh which understands, b'kirves Hashem, the closeness of Hashem, when God lives with him, like we said, when you do a mitzvah, God comes to live with you. And he says you'll even have a bigger simcha. The gedol nachas, when you have the simchas Hashem, the gedol nachas ruach lefan of Yisbarach, and the great pleasure that God has, b'emunah zu, with your emuna of iskaf yisitracher mamish, by breaking evil, and when you transform God, darkness to light. Meaning like this. Not only are you happy because God is coming with you, but you're happy because you just made God happy. Because what did you do by doing a mitzvah and not doing a sin? You broke evil, transformed evil to Kedusha. So then God is happy because that's the purpose why He made this whole world. So when God's happy and a person believes in God, like we know, when the kid is happy, the parents are happy. Not the other way. but the kids are happy, the parents are happy. And he says, because what are you transforming to light? The darkness of evil in this world, hamachshichim umachasin, that darken and cover al eira yizbarich, on the revelation of Hashem, ad etzketz, until the time of Mashiach, when evil will be removed. Do you know, there's a very, you ever try this, when a person is dying to say something, and you shut them up, you don't let them say it. You ever notice when a person is dying to do something and you don't, they can't? It's torture. It's really torture. Hashem wants to reveal himself. That's what he wants. He wants to be revealed. The world, especially when we sin, but the world at large, which is evil, doesn't allow Hashem to reveal himself. So basically, the world is putting God in jail, in exile, because in jail, like we learned, if I go home at night and lock the door, I'm not in jail. I mean, some men will tell you they are, but people are not in jail when you come home at night to lock the door. You go into the bathroom, you lock the door, you're not in jail. You're behind a locked door, but I locked it, I could unlock it. When is a person in jail or in exile? When somebody else locks you in the room. If somebody else locks you in the room, that's what jail is. What's the difference between a jail cell and your house, your own house? My own house, I locked it, I can unlock it. In jail cell, somebody else locked me in. And that's torture. That's the concept of exile, the concept of torture. Now, if Hashem, pardon the pun, is dying to reveal himself, and world doesn't let him, and now when we do a mitzvah, we're uncovering the darkness that conceals Hashem. We're opening the jail door for Hashem to go out of exile. So then Hashem is very happy. So if you believe in God and you love God, so not only are you happy that we connect to Hashem, but we're also happy that Hashem now is able to be free. By the way, just to explain something clearly. The only reason why Hashem is not in Golus, Hashem is not in exile, Hashem is never in jail, he's the boss, he can do whatever he wants. But what's interesting is, and this is fundamental Yiddishkeit, Hashem, in other words, our actions really have no impact on him whatsoever. He is so infinite, and we're so finite and so limited. Like we gave the mashal many times, a little bug at the other end of the world, yeah, their action has absolutely no impact on you whatsoever. And like we said many times, can you imagine on the other end of the world, in jungle somewhere, there's two bugs holding a conversation. And they're telling you, you know that guy in California, you know that woman in California, whether they praise you or curse you, it really doesn't matter. Just think about it. Do you really care what two little bugs at the end of the world are talking about? Who cares? Now, the bugs are finite and creations. We are finite in creations. So the relationship between us and the bug is infinitely closer than the mathematical connection between us and Hashem. So why, if you think about it, why does God care if we do mitzvahs or not? The only reason is, and not only does Hashem matter, but we control what goes on upstairs. Whether God reveals himself or not is up to us. As it says, da mala mala mimach. Simply the Mishnah means, you should know what's above you. But the Maggid said, you should know that whatever is going on upstairs is from you. You call the shots. Whether God is revealed or whether God is concealed, whether God is a free God or a jailed God, kaviyachol, is up to us. So it's not that God says your actions mathematically or by definition must affect me. The only reason our actions affect Hashem is because he said, that's what I want. I want that your action affects me. So it's not that Hashem is forced to be in Golus, because if Hashem wants, he's out of Golus. I mean, he's the boss. He can do whatever he wants. But Hashem said, I am giving the Jew the power and the ability to call the shots. So if you put me into galus, or the way Hashem created the world of darkness, that Hashem put himself into exile, and then he says, okay, you guys, Jews, get me out of here, uncover the, open the door, take off the covering, take off the concealment, and allow me to be revealed. So not only are we happy because we are united with Hashem, but we're making Hashem happy. That's a much greater simcha than we're making God happy. And that's going to happen until the time of Mashiach. Like it says, Keitzam Lachayshach, Hashem put an end to the darkness, which is called Keitz HaYamin, which is the end of the, what refers to the end of days, which is Keitz HaYamin, meaning Sheyaver Ruach HaTumim Min HaOretz, when the God, Keitz HaYamin means the end of days. Sheyaver Ruach HaTumim Min HaOretz, Hashem will remove evil from the world. Then evil won't exist anymore. So automatically Hashem will be revealed. V'nigla kved Hashem, and the glory of Hashem will be revealed. V'ro kobasi yachtiv, all flesh will see that God is God. So he says this is the joy that a person needs to be learning. This is what the whole Perek Lamed Gimel is, to understand the power of the Jew and what we have the ability to accomplish. And when we do it, we talk accomplish it. That means if a Jew does, as it would say in America, God forbid, it's a funny expression to use, but if a Jew would do one lousy mitzvah, one tiny, seemingly insignificant mitzvah, not only do they unite themselves with God, but they freed God, they took off one of the coverings for Hashem to be less concealed. And reality is, if he's less concealed, he's automatically more revealed. Ultimately, that will happen when Mashiach comes, when evil will be completely removed from the world. But as Alter Rebbe will soon say in a few prokim, this is up to us now, by uncovering the covers now, that's how much godliness will be revealed when Mashiach comes. And he says, Ubefrat, four lines in the end of the page. B'chutz l'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, sha'avir ha'eretz ha'amim tamid. The Gemara says that the air outside of Eretz Yisrael is impure. Just the air is impure air. U'male klipas v'sitra achra. Okay? And it's full of evil. He says, v'ein simcha l'fanav yizbarech. There could be no greater joy by Hashem. Ka'era v'simcha. Like light and simcha. Beyisin ha'erd, in the advantage of light, habam in acheshech dafka, that comes, from the darkness. And again, the Alter Rebbe said a number of times in Tanya, this is one of the, again, a fundamental aspect. Shlomo Melech was very brilliant, as everybody knows. Says a pasuk that at face value, you think to yourself, why in the world do I need Shlomo Melech to tell me that? Shlomo HaMelech says, Re'isi, sheyesh yisrin la'or min acheshech, ki yisrin, I'm sorry, Re'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chochme min asichlus, ki yisrin ha'or min acheshech. Shlomo HaMelech says like this, listen to this. The simple translation, not the way it's supposed to be, the simple translation of the pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech says, I see the advantage of brilliance over stupidity, like the advantage of light over dark. Very brilliant. I mean, I don't really need Shlomo HaMelech to tell me that just like light is better than dark, wisdom is better than stupidity. Even stupid people know that. Maybe not. So Chassidus explains that's not what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Because if that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying, he's saying the wrong words. If Shlomo HaMelech wanted to tell me that wisdom is better than stupidity, and light is better than dark, the pasuk should have said, "V'ra'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chochma al hasichlus." I see the advantage of light, of wisdom, over stupidity. The advantage of light al hachayshach. He doesn't say that, and this is what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching. "V'ra'isi sheyesh yisrin l'chochma." He says the greatest wisdom. Yisrin ha-chochma, the greatest wisdom, min ha-sichlis, when it comes from stupidity. When stupidity is transformed to brilliance. Kiyisin ha'erd, like the advantage of light, the great, it doesn't mean, not only the advantage of light. Yisin ha'erd means the ultimate level of light is not over darkness. Min ha'cheshech means when it comes from the darkness. What Shlomo HaMelech is saying, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, it's all over the place. When darkness is transformed to light, that's the ultimate level of light. That light is better than dark, Shlomo HaMelech is not telling me that. First of all, that's not what the Pasuk says. He says, Yesh Yisrin Ha'ar. You know when there's an advantage of light, you know when there's the greatest level of light? Not al ha-cheshech over darkness, min ha-cheshech when it comes from the darkness. Meaning, when a person, like they always say, even in the world of politics, you know, that a Kennedy becomes a senator, or a Rockefeller becomes, for those that know that name, that's a big deal. That a slave becomes a president of the United States, that's an accomplishment. What's the accomplishment? Because this is coming, a transformation of darkness to light is the ultimate level of light. In other words, like this. You have a dark room. Room's pitch black. Okay, you turn on the light. Or as they say in yeshiva, open the light. Yeah, you turn on the light. Now the room is lit up. Okay? So, there was a battle between darkness and light. The room is dark. Now you turn on the light. Light wins. Okay? But that does not mean that the darkness became light. Because the second you close the light, it's dark again. So if you transformed the darkness to light, then even when you turn off the light, it should be light.
Right.
So normally that doesn't happen. And it's not going to happen ultimately until Mashiach comes. But Alter Rebbe says here, every time you do a mitzvah, that's what it is. You're taking the darkness of the world, klipa, evil, and you're making that into holiness, into light. For instance, we learned in Tanya before, there's either holiness or evil. There's no in between, right? But you have an evil, elevatable evil, non-elevatable. Shosh Kripa said, Tamei is Kripa Snoga. But even Kripa Snoga is evil. Yeah? This paper, before the Tanya was printed on it, was Kripa Snoga. There's no Kedusha in the paper. The same paper could have been used for evil. Happy courses, whatever. It could have been used for Trefa magazines. Okay? So this paper was Kripa Snoga. What happened to this paper now? The klipa itself, the paper itself, became holy. And therefore, this paper is going to stay holy no matter what happens to it. Even if the letters start rubbing out, it's not like the room, you close the light, it's dark again. You turn off the light, not close, you turn off the light, it's dark. Here, this is a transformation of evil to Kedusha. And Alter Rebbe said before in Perek Zayin of Tanya Zayin, Ches, and all those prakim, if a person eats food, you take an apple, a piece of meat, kosher obviously, you make a bracha, and eat it for the right purposes, you are elevating that apple, he says the expression, ka'ela ukekorban. Ela is the burnt offering, which is the holiest type of a sacrifice, is the korban ela, the burnt offering. He says when a person eats, which apple is not kedusha, the meat is not kedusha, it's klipas nega, it's kosher. So it's not shalosh klipas atmeis, right? But you're elevating klipa to kedusha. But now, we can't take pig and elevate it to kedusha. That's too far gone evil at the present to elevate it to kedusha. When will be ruach atuma avim in ha'aretz? Total evil will be removed from the world. That's when Mashiach comes. To a certain extent, now we do it every time you do a mitzvah with permissible things. We're elevating klipas noiga and making it light. But chazir, which is total evil, you know, treif, total evil, that you can't elevate to kedusha.
You're talking about only for a Jew, though, right?
Only for a Jew. And the truth is, the highest level of baal tshuva, that the avedis become mitzvahs, which is very lofty level of tshuva, that the aveda becomes a mitzvah, the Gemara says, then the baal tshuva, and that's why he's greater than a tzaddik. You know, baal tshuva is greater than a tzaddik. It means a baal tshuva, that's a level that the tshuva, the avedis become a mitzvah. Which means, the baal tshuva, let's say, ate pig. He ate the shol shuv. A tzaddik cannot elevate pig. He's not allowed to eat it. But a guy who, or woman, who eats it, and they did an aveda, right? And they did such a level of tshuva, that the aveda becomes a mitzvah, meaning that pig now became holy. Normally, that will not happen until Mashiach comes. Now we can only elevate klipas noiga, which is also klipa and darkness, that we can elevate the kedusha. Shalosh klipas hatmeis cannot be elevated until Mashiach comes. Or, as Alter Rebbe says before in Tanya, a person does such a level of tshuva that aveda becomes a mitzvah, then they can elevate it. In fact, there's a chassidish word. If you think about it, Adam Arishon, why did he eat from the forbidden fruit? Come on. Where's he going? Okay, his wife had something to do with it, but where's he going? So, from a positive perspective, there's a chassidish of art like this. A Rebbe, it says, a Rebbe could elevate Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis. A regular tzaddik can't. A Rebbe, you find the Rebbe trying to change the French Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis nigin Adez Ramona into Kedush. Rabbeim have the ability to take Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis. That's a unique power that a Rebbe has. They could take Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis and make it into Kedusha. Adam Arishon, this is what it says in Sfarim. Adam Arishon thought he was a Rebbe. And therefore Adam Arishon said, it's forbidden fruit, Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis, but you know what? I could do it. I can elevate it. What's the problem? The Gemara says in Eidavin, Adam Arishon chosid godol hoya. That's what the Gemara says in Eidavin. Adam Arishon was a very great chosid. So Chassidish Sfarim says, the problem was he wasn't a Rebbe. He thought he was a Rebbe. But he was only a chosid, and a chosid cannot elevate Shalosh Klipas HaTmeis. And therefore he goofed up. He thought he would be able to elevate it. He thought, you know, God made me, look how great I am. The only one that didn't have a mother-in-law. Can you imagine? And so he thought he could elevate it, but he couldn't. That was his problem.
Rabbi,
what?
So for someone who's not Jewish, what is an apple then for them?
They don't elevate anything.
So it doesn't have that same status of being evil, so to speak, for them?
Can a guy eat chazer?
Yes.
Is it wrong when he eats chazer?
No.
Why?
Because
God said he could eat it. If it's not one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei neich, right? Which is really approximately 30 mitzvahs out of, from the seven it becomes like 30 something. We learned this many times. Every thing in the world has its function. Correct? In the human body, the head has its function, the heart has its function, and the feet have their function. If the heart decides to become a head, or the head decides to become a heart, it ain't gonna work. Right? Okay. That doesn't mean there's more important, there's less important. Each part of the human body has a different mission. And that mission is what they have to do, and that's very important what to do. The Jews were created in the world for a mission, and the Goyim were created in the world for a mission. Seven mitzvahs b'nei noach, the seven-night laws, are all mitzvahs that have to do with what's called Yeshiva Olam, civilizing the world. All the seven-night laws basically are no cruelty to animals, set up judiciary systems, not to steal, not to kill, not to commit adultery. All these seven-night laws are to civilize the world. That is their goal. Understand? The goal of the non-Jew is to make the world not a jungle, to make the world a civilized place. Then, okay, I'll give you an example. You're running a company. You're running a business, yeah? In order to run the business, you need a desk. Well, maybe not nowadays, but normally. You need a desk. You need a phone. You need paper. You need a computer. You need a pen. Okay, now, when you have all those things in a civilized, you need a clean office too. When you have all these things civilized, then you're able to run the business. Now, you know how many people it took for you to be able to sit in your office and do all this work? You know how many people it took to make a desk? The people that planted the tree, cut the tree, this tree, that's a tree, and the desk the tree, and the, okay, the pen. You know how many people, okay, it's all for you, for only you. For one you. The purpose of the goyim in the world, which is a very important purpose, by the way, is to civilize the world, to make it a civilized, not a jungle. The role of the Jew, then, is to come and make the civilized world holy. And therefore, the Jew could make and elevate the world to make it holy. But if it's a jungle and it's chaos, there's no way you could take the world and make it holy, because, well, you have a jungle. So the role of a non-Jew is to civilize the world. Therefore, you have 7 billion, whatever billion goyim there are, because it takes much more people than the... And then the Jews are chosen, that's why we're chosen, be able to do mitzvahs to bring godliness into the world. But
the apple for one person is really different than the apple for another person.
No, the apple's not different. Your mission with the apple is different than somebody else's mission. The purpose of a guy eating apple is not to elevate the apple. It's for him to be healthy, to be able to do his mission in life. The purpose of a Jew to eat an apple is to elevate the apple to Kedusha. That's the difference. It's a fundamental difference. What?
That's also part of a Jew's obligation is to follow the laws of the land they're in, that the goyim created, or a Jew can go.
Only if it doesn't oppose Torah.
Only if it doesn't oppose Torah.
Yeah. If the goyim make a rule, don't keep Shabbos, then you're not allowed to keep it. Right. But if goyim say a rule, don't go through a red light, then the Jew's not allowed to go through a red light.
The Torah says.
Torah says, the law of the land, as long as it doesn't contradict Torah.
Right.
Then you have to do it.
Yeah. And the Torah says you have to follow the laws that they're making, if it doesn't contradict Torah.
Correct. Okay.